This podcast may contain disturbing content for some listeners. It's intended for mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised. This is True Crime XS.
So we're in like this really weird position to wrap up the year. It's actually, you know, my 2020 was not as bad as everyone else's 2020. So
I hate to even like comment on that because my life really didn't change all that much. My son was already doing virtual school. Okay. So that never stopped. Like he's like the only kid around that he didn't have an interruption to his school because they were already doing virtual. And then I was a stay-at-home mom because he's getting to the point where he's old enough to be home alone. Like it's fresh. It's not like he's been there for very long. So yeah, my 2020 didn't really change all that much, my life. Now I do have everything delivered now though. So that changed.
I mean, I was getting there before, but I definitely am in delivery mode now. Like I go out basically once or twice a week for the absolute things I have to do in the world. But I think that would have changed whether we had a pandemic or not. I think the pandemic just made it happen faster.
Possibly. Yeah. No, I was there. I was pretty much there. The pandemic was just like, it was the excuse to, it was just the excuse. You know, it was just the excuse to finally just give up. Like being socialized at all, I guess it's really bad.
No, I mean, you know, I tend to be like you, but my household is not like you and not like yours. My kid likes to go out and do things, but my wife is very social. Most of our time, like we go. We don't sit at home. So this was a new experience for everyone.
Right. And you suddenly this year, I've thought about this occasionally that, you know, suddenly you've got a whole house full and that's different for you. I mean, it's been a while, but then like, you know, having a whole house full of people living there and then having the people that live there actually be there all the time is got to be very different. For you.
Yeah, it was. And I had time to adjust to this like pre-pandemic because we had lived together for a long time. But the difference was we used to maintain two places to live.
Right.
So I had my little house and my dog. And that was my world. And it's like out in the sticks and it's on like a lot of land and my neighbors aren't super close. But she likes city life. And we had kept up this apartment for a long time that was in one of the big cities, like downtown.
Right.
And the other thing that has changed, this is not super new, but like, so the last 3 years, my kid lives with me full time now, does not really leave as far as going to another adult's residence. They do a lot of social stuff and they see the other parent, but they haven't stayed there very much in the last 3 years. So that's been, I would like to say that was a slow adjustment, but the truth is I hit the ground running because I didn't have a choice.
I was going to say, it didn't seem like it was an adjustment. It actually seemed like things were finally normal. Like that's what it seemed like to me. Not that I live there or anything. just, you know, obviously our lives outside of the show could be its very own podcast.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, so that's sort of what we're like, I know it sounds like banter or whatever, but we're really telling people a little more about us in general because we're wrapping up the year. Our lives are kind of already podcasts. And I actually am already involved in a number of other podcasts. And I think that you are going to end up being involved in at least one, maybe two. But so I have Don't Forget Me. That's a musical podcast that I'm doing about one of the first interracial doo-wop groups in the 50s.
I wanted to ask you. So I actually pulled that up the other morning, and I started listening to it, but I got interrupted, so I didn't get very far. And is it mono?
Part,
it doesn't have to be on recording.
That's all right.
If it was my air, but if it was my like my headphones, or if it was
parts of it might be. I may need to check that. Parts of it may be mono.
I just made like, and like I said, I got interrupted, so I stopped listening to it. I was only a few minutes in, but I did notice it might have been one of my AirPods didn't charge, but it also might have been that it was in my right ear only. I don't know. It was weird. I just wanted to tell you because I thought that might.
I'll check that. I mean, some of it
I might be like that on purpose. I just happened to notice it.
I could fix, I'll check it and I can fix it if it's like not supposed to be that way, but I don't have a lot of control over that one.
Well, it didn't seem like, because it's a story about a band or a musician. You were saying that and I cut you off, but, like, this is interesting. Like,
well, so I got that one, I got hired to write that screenplay, like, 2 or 3 years ago. So there's it's sort of two stories going, because I wrote a screenplay called Don't Forget Me, which is about just that group, Scott Stevens and the Cavaliers. The way that the podcast ties in is I'm sort of covering that story, but what I'm really getting up to is sort of what's happened to them and the development of the film or series out of that. It's been an interesting process and I documented it. A lot of what you hear there is not me necessarily documenting it. It's sort of the other parties that have been involved, specifically Scott Stevens himself. He has another name, but that's his stage name, so that's what I'm going to use for here. But he has collected all of his archival stuff and gotten permission to use it. And he had asked me, was there anything we could do with it? There was the idea to develop a documentary. There was an idea to develop a feature film or a series out of it. And I wanted to do the podcast to sort of preserve everything in time and the process that we were going through. So Don't Forget Me is out there.
I started listening to it. I'll listen to it. My second podcast, just to listen.
So then I have a podcast coming out called I Have a Dog. And I don't think,
right. I actually searched for that one too. And it was bad because I had to go back through our text messages to see, cause you said you had typed the names and I was like, oh, I should check out those. Because I was listening to re-listening through our last few episodes because I wanted to see like if anything I felt like was super important had been left out. And I'll let you go ahead about I Have a Dog because this veers off subject or it. The rest I have to say about that is like it will take you away from that. But I want to know what it's about.
so I Have a Dog has not premiered yet. It's still in like the recording and production phase. It's like gonna like I think the pilot episode is ready and then the second or third episodes. Basically, the way that this works for me is I find somebody that wants to produce it or I produce it myself. And in this instance, the subject is someone I've known for a really long time. And it basically ends up being like a half hour long commercial for the dating app Bumble. And that will be consistent through the run of the series. I don't know how long it's going to go, but my wife and I met like in the inaugural phase of Bumble. We had both gotten divorced and there was this app on iPhones called Bumble where the way it worked was
act like it comes like standard, like you didn't download it.
No. So it was an alternative app for young professionals when it first came out. But this is what's different about it. You cannot message women on this app. You can like whoever you want. You can swipe or whatever it was. It's changed a little bit since we used it because when we used it, it was years ago. The women then have X amount of time once if you match, like you're both swiping, and if there's a match, the women have 24 or 48 hours, depending on what kind of plan they're on, to talk to you or not talk to you. A friend of mine had asked me for dating advice. They're in their low range 30s. I think, I don't know how old she is exactly, 34, 35-ish. But we've been friends for a really long time. And she had asked me for dating advice and I had recommended Bumble. What ended up happening was Bumble found out we got married, my wife and I, and that I was actively referring people to Bumble. So they started sending us shit. And I was like, well, let me see what I can do about this. And the first episode is Where I Have a Dog Gets Its Name, because it's really about how different it is for women in their 30s and 40s to be dating online and what's available to them. But we are following, to start with, we're following one person's experience, and it includes before the pandemic, because we had recorded some then, and it includes during the pandemic, and hopefully it will include some stuff after the pandemic. So I Have a Dog is one person's adventures in trying to date, being a 30-something-year-old professional.
That sounds intriguing. It just, that was completely different than what I expected.
Well,
I have three dogs, and I thought it was going to be more like that. But that does, I mean, no, I get what you're saying. And that would be like one of the selling, well, either a selling point or a, you know, swipe the other way point. I've been married for 16 years, so I have no idea how dating apps work. I don't know anything about them, but I would assume that I Have a Dog would be a good starting point about when you're finding out about somebody you may or may not want to date.
Yeah, it became a, it's sort of an inside joke, but it is a theme in the story too. It just happened that way. So that one will, it premieres in January, and it'll run for a while depending on, I have to find a new subject if things work out and they actually start seeing someone in long term. So I've recorded with two people for that, but one of them, she came back later and was like, I don't want to be on a podcast. And I was like, okay, no worries. And
well,
you know,
at least you listen to her.
Well, so I Have a Dog will be out. And then I have two other podcasts I'll be a part of. And one of them I'm not going to talk about here because it's not my place to talk about it yet. But the other one is about, it is sort of a, it's a mystery, but it's not true crime. I guess it's not true crime, unless, depends on how you define crime. But,
well, I wanted to say something, like, it's really interesting to me. This is a whole different world that I'm still not really a part of, but from talking with you, like on recording and off recording, I have found like one thing I really like about you and about like the work that you do is how inclusive you are. Like as far as when we get on a case, like we want to do the best we can, like to get the best result for whatever we're trying to do. And I really admire the fact that you, like, you take the crap from, you know, I don't understand the competitiveness in armchair investigators or podcast detectives or whatever you want to say, because in, when we're trying to get something done, we want to solve it. And anybody who has anything to add to it is more than welcome to add to it. So I got like a little bit of exposure to how many people who do podcasts aren't like that. And so I just wanted to say like, good job. Like you're doing a really good job of, you know, staying focused on the work as opposed to promoting yourself.
Well, and you know, True Crime Access was designed that way, like exactly that way, because I made a podcast that I would want to hear, and I've gotten flack on the internet, and other people have assisted with sort of monitoring the things that are out there related to True Crime Access and making sure that whatever's out there is accurate. And some of it you can't do anything about. Like I get shit in reviews and you get shit in reviews and like people say things and that's all fine, but like they don't know anything about me and people don't know what my day job is or who I am on purpose because it's not about me. It's not about like who the host is. And that's what so many podcasts have become about.
I wondered, like, so has anybody noticed that?
No, like, and so we get two big complaints. One is that we sound like an old married couple. And I thought about, like, revealing how we're related to each other and our and everything. But I decided not to do that because I think, you know, there are other podcasts that do the same thing. Like True Crime Garage does that. You know, I happen to know, I happen to know quite a bit about those two individuals. And
well, you don't want to give away any of their secrets.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I don't give away their secrets, but it's not really something you go hunting for. One of the complaints I got was that we stole stuff from another podcast, and that's not accurate. We had our information way ahead of that other podcast. I honestly, and I think you know this about me, I waited because I thought this person would tell the same story, but they've decided that, like, it's a personal journey, and that's fine. They can take that personal journey and talk about themselves and the relationships.
Well, and go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, but my thing is that's not even the problem. The problem is when it gets pundit-like. Pundit-like part of it is when you have a former detective or a former talking head who was a better talking head than they were a detective. And you can interchange whatever words you want to say there, but talking head is the important one. Like, when people are better talking heads than they ever were at whatever else it was they do, you have to look at, like, what do they take credit for? What do they actually do? And I discovered that I spent more time researching the researchers than doing the work if I went that way. Yeah. And I hate that.
Right. I hate because that. It's a waste ultimately. And I think, so that's interesting to me that, because my lame way of trying to segue something, because we may be onto something I feel like is pretty big. I don't know that anybody else on earth feels like it's pretty big. What'll end up happening is True Crime XS will be ultimately responsible for the find if we were to be successful. And no one will know who we are. And I think that's awesome. And I don't know of a lot of people who were, I don't know that that would have been my approach to it. I know, because ultimately, you know, this is, you produce this show, and it's funny that you're doing all these other podcasts, and you said, oh, and you'll probably be doing another one or two. And I'm like, really? What are you doing? I can talk, I will read whatever you want me to, but like podcast, I mean, whatever. And, 'cause I don't mind. I actually, in trying to help you, I like realized, oh, you just talk and, you know, if my voice is annoying you, then feel free to move on. There's a podcast available. But, you know, I didn't mind. I felt like I had stuff to say. And so, but nobody knows anything about us. Okay, so this is what I'm emphasizing here, which clearly I'm not doing a good job of.
No, you're fine.
I'm trying to say this isn't about us. Even though we did, like, because we've done a podcast for an entire year. I believe, what is this, episode 46 or something like that?
Yeah, it's in the 40s.
Okay. And so we've put out all these episodes, and ultimately, it's not about us. This show has never been about us, even though it doesn't seem like we get knocked and everything. And so I feel like it's a big accomplishment because we haven't been like, oh, look at us, you know, this is, we did talk a little bit because I did feel like people were forgetting that we were like actual human beings, that, you know, could read reviews. And and so, you know, we did do a little banter, and this episode is supposed to be a conclusion. And
wait, hold on. Before you get there, hold on. I want to point out something else. You are right. This is not about us, but we hit on at least three cases this year that no one has ever covered, ever.
Well, and see, a lot of, so you have sort of like the push to get it produced and put it out there. I would love nothing more but to just read and research and make my little charts for you. But I realize, like, sometimes you're not paying attention and you won't cover everything, so I have to talk. So,
well, that's what we did. What we discovered.
More going on. I mean, I get that, like. I literally sit and read stuff for it. It is an insane amount of time that I spend doing some of this stuff because it, you know, it, especially just to turn around and be like, oh, here's our show. And
right. And so that was okay. So that was the point in a couple of things that we did where the boy in the box case is a good example. People have covered that before, but we took a whole new angle on it. And that was one of the things I told you, even with Israel Keyes, that I didn't want to cover what other people had. And like, I get that people, you know, at me and say, you know, whatever you want to say shit to me on social media about it's a bunch of useless information. And like, they don't, the thing is, there's at least two other podcasts that have covered Israel Keyes with partial information. I say that because I got some of the FOIA files before they did. And when they went to get them, there weren't as many, and we don't know why they were redacted, but there was a bunch of stuff pulled out of them. And you ended up being able to look through a pretty huge amount of information on that subject alone. And people don't, they want to think that I took someone else's information. And I just want to make a point that I credited everyone whose information I utilized as I went.
And that's actually, I have no idea what you're talking about, but I can say 100%, no doubt. I haven't listened to anything, or I have nothing to do with anything that ran about Israel Keyes that was beyond like mainstream media, because I do know sometime during the show there was like when the Baphomet episode happened, like I know that there was a show on, I don't know, 48 Hour Mystery or something was on. And so I watched that. But so, you know, if I've brought something up that somebody was to say that you stole, there's no way, because I don't try to access that information. So if I started it, even if it's the same idea, it came from my brain. So
yeah. And that's like some of these conclusions, like, and nobody came up with the pit latrine thing. I don't care what any of them say. That's where it is. It's not anything else except that we wanted to point out that he told the investigators he had told them the whole story. We told a version of the story that was as much as I could make sense. And I've gone back through that case and I found like new potential people. But the truth is, until someone starts looking in those locations, and I totally want someone to prove me wrong. Please prove me wrong.
Because the pandemic sort of put a kink in that whole situation. Has somebody else said... Wait, has somebody accused you of stealing the pit latrine idea?
Just information. They don't understand that, like, I was, like, one of the first supporters on two other podcasts that sort of covered Israel Keyes and veered off after a couple of seasons. I didn't want to do Israel Keyes, but no one else was doing it.
Completely, like, so even now, talking about the fact that there's a high probability that a number of his victims are in pit latrines. That makes me cringe to no end, even like when you just said it. And so to think that that would be something like that we would want to talk about, much less like repeat after somebody else, is kind of, it's weird for me, because it's almost unthinkable. I dump and run, pun intended, because I like make you do all like the, it's disgusting and it's terrible. And I don't even want to say it out loud. Like,
well, that's the thing, but it's also like, it's the craziest fucking thing, but it's why he's gotten away with it. Because of that right there, people can't have this conversation seriously. Even in the government, they can't have this conversation seriously. And I discovered that the hard way by like trying to be taken seriously to just follow the breadcrumbs he left. I've been pretty obsessed with that for, like, we found that out a long time ago. That was not a thing that we like, we're just like, we'll do a podcast and think we come up with a thing. That's what he told everyone. And we found that out by going through.
I listened to his interviews. I mean, right. That's where that all started. And to me, it makes perfect sense. And I have really gotten a skewed, I feel like my view is skewed because I'm going, why isn't anybody else seeing this? Like he's practically saying it, like in my opinion, but then I'm like, well, am I one of those crazy people that's out there? Which of course, you know, I made you say all that stuff and we did. I don't know. I can't say with 100% certainty. However, like, I really don't feel like you stole the idea from anybody, but I am 100% certain that you and I came up with that. And it all came from our really in-depth look at Bill Owosco.
Yeah. And that, so his case has been covered, but in different ways. His case is covered as more of like a search and rescue example, and you can find it in numerous places. And I've reached out to those same people, some of whom are pretty notable in true crime, and talked to them about my crazy idea that he is probably in the pit latrine at the Ryan campground or the Justin campground out there. But all of those things come from our, we were trying to avoid it. I was hoping someone else had said it. I went looking for that information. But as far as like stealing someone's information, I didn't do that. I've been accused of it twice. Don't really know what it's related to. Don't really care. Didn't look into it any further. I didn't want to make True Crime Excess. I had other plans and other things to do. And I started something else actually with you that we were, you know, hoping to do that's sort of been duplicated poorly since then. So True Crime Excess comes about because no one else was saying it. And even now at the levels of government that would matter, no one else is saying it. Like no one else is looking there. I'm the only one going around looking in the pit latrines, unless people from here have started doing that. And that would be interesting.
I actually don't encourage that at all though. Like that's just not a good idea.
Hard to do. And the time difference between 2012 and now makes it really difficult.
But you got
8 years of shit.
Right. No, but you're talking about from like 1997 or 1998. Like you're talking about, because we're not, he didn't kill everybody right before he was taken into custody.
Right. So yeah, you're right. It's even longer. You're right. Right.
And so I feel like a spring cleaning of pit latrines would do everybody some good.
Well, okay. So there's that case. Then, you know, covering the boy in the box and the Fort Worth trio the way we did is different. People have speculated on some of those ideas, but that those are some of my favorite cases anything, to cover.
Was anything like so I don't look at anything. I don't know anything and you don't ever tell me anything because I'm sure I'd quit if you, I'd be like, screw you. Was anything like notably discounted? That's what I would be interested to know. I'm all about like the facts. And so my whole thing is like, okay, you know, what's your source? And like, here's what I've come up with. Prove me wrong. Like that's how I work. And so anything interesting? I don't even
know. No, like most of the stuff that we've done, like, so cases that I wanted to cover that we didn't cover, there were two of them that I had sort of in the mix of things to talk to you about. For whatever reason, like part of the last quarter of the year got away from me with being gone for a while. But the gist of it is, no, nothing was discounted. However, a couple of cases were solved. Two notable cases that I'm not going to like name them or go into them because they're going to be a mess in court. They made arrests in two cases that I had other opinions on and I was wrong. And a third case, they made an arrest and I was right. And it was someone no one else had thought of. So that was pretty cool. Nothing has come out of our cases that has discounted the things we talked about. The other thing is because of your focus on the facts, I tend to, I don't know, maybe it's a disclaimer that I shouldn't use, but I use a lot of disclaimers when we're speculating heavily.
I will say it. I don't know. And you know, that kind of, it's weird. because I am very clear when I'm gone off on my little speculation journey.
Well, and so the other thing was with True Crime Excess, I wanted to focus on the Israel Keyes story and end it at pit latrines. I had considered doing Christopher Bilo. I considered doing Neil, what was his last name?
Falls.
Yeah, Neil Falls. Sorry, I don't know why that escaped me for a second. I considered doing those two cases because they're
interesting. I don't know how I remembered that, honestly.
But other people are trying to cover those right now. And I didn't really want to, like, I had one of the investigators on the Neil Falls matter, but that's like a weird one because he's dead and like basically never really attributed to anything except the final act. Christopher Bielo, I had a couple of the investigators that one specifically I talked to. I'm still considering doing something with him related to that case because Bielo gets out next year on the charge that he's in, except you and I can't wrap our head around on what he's really done. And we would, without revealing anything here, like we would, that's, it's a lot of work. And then I had a season two case lined up that they discounted part of that, but we didn't cover it yet. I was covering it personally before I brought it to you. And I've sort of showed you bits and pieces of it along the way, but not enough for you to really start working on that one. Cause there's this area of New Mexico and Colorado where there's been several serial killers active. And I found some interesting materials out there that I want to cover at some point. And that was going to be my season two, except the FBI just Bigfooted it. And what I say they Bigfooted it is the way that works is the locals were never going to solve it. And I'm not knocking them. They just didn't have the resources. And it was strewn across so many jurisdictions that they weren't seeing it. And the Colorado Bureau of Investigation got involved in a more recent case, and I think they put it together that something was going on. So that's like the state level, but the FBI is now involved. And unfortunately, I think they're going down the wrong path, but I got to let them go down that path because I can't, like, I'm not going to get the materials on the other cases while they're doing that.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
Like it's gonna like create this ball of maybes that like, I would have to speculate too much. It would take a lot of like physical work on the ground. So I'm not saying like, no, I'm never going to do that for season two or whatever, because that currently still is my plan. Like I have a series of episodes planned and the materials available for us to be able to cover some of that. You know, like I sent you a book that someone had written that I don't think has been widely published. It's sort of like narrow local vanity press book. And it has some interesting stories from one or two of the cases that I thought would be good springboards for season two. I haven't ruled that out, but I don't think we're going to get a lot of good material. Like I think basically I can cover that whole area in season two, started in late January and go to July. And I can almost guarantee you that the FBI will start making announcements in September. Just the way things are going there and the testing that they're doing, they're 6 months to a year out and they've been doing the work. So I was 3/4 of the way through the research when they made an announcement that they thought there was a serial killer in that area.
Right. And that's, well, I don't really want to get into like, this is a fun recap, but like, I still don't know that.
Yeah, there Right. And that was the thing, I had identified a cluster and I wanted to chase it down because what I thought would be interesting would be revealing to people how I do the groundwork and the legwork and taking a Tascam digital recorder and letting them hear what the interviews sound like and letting them hear like what it, like things that aren't just like news clips pieced together to back up like other theories, but like what it sounds like when you physically go and try and do a thing. But what I determined was, and this part is what's holding me back, is that ultimately this particular case that I want to go examine might be two cases, and one of them might be very dangerous.
Oh.
Because I believe that a local law enforcement person is involved in that case. And if that is the case, it would be more difficult to go in and ask the local police for records. So it became one of these.
It wouldn't be more difficult. They'd just not give them to you.
Right, but then you get into a situation where they have to give you certain things under you know what I mean? So
right, but okay, yeah.
Do we want to spend the legal time and the legal money to do that part?
No.
Exactly. So one of the cases that has had an interesting follow-up on is this old case. It's the oldest thing I've ever tried to like really work. And that is a Nebraska case from the 1930s that we think is related to a Vermont case from the 1930s. They have begun to do work there where
we talked about it in Matches Known Only to God.
Yeah. So we talked about this in Matches Known Only to God, which is sort of the different types of research we do. This is more the internet side, but it's the archival side as well. The most interesting thing I can share right now is that the police from both jurisdictions are talking, and they have got someone who's an editor at a newer news source working on going through the archives of an older news source that is not available online yet. And trying to, there's this guy, his name's Edwin Pierce, who has an accident in the 1920s and has some violent outbursts and other issues that happen along the way. And then we believe his wife and children disappeared. And we believe they were found in Vermont like 3 years later on, you know, after some form of journey where he probably killed them. So it would be the oldest thing I've ever worked on that might have updates in 2021. And it, you know, it's not really, that one's not a case. On one side of that case, the Vermont side, it was heavily, heavily researched. So I don't get credit for any of that. I just put it together with something you found, and I got the right people in touch with each other, because it's really complicated to try and solve what is basically a 90-year-old case.
It is. And it's funny because that is true. Like, if it ends up being something, and there's a good chance, and I don't want to say for sure, you know, that it's going to be, but if it is, that's awesome. And it doesn't matter who takes credit for it, even though it was me. I'm just kidding. But it really did. It came from looking into Ted Bundy. That's how we got on that case, was because I was looking for children who disappeared in the 50s, and I accidentally put in 30, and the kid came up, and it just happened to be a blurb, and it said, because this that body was found in 1935 in Vermont, and it said found along with like two other bodies. And I'm like, well, how many trios are missing out there? Like, it just can't possibly be that many. So that's really interesting to me. Ted Bundy was a, like, so we did Israel Keyes. I did just pretty much whatever you were like, hey, talk about this. But then we improvised for the rest of the year. So which did you like better?
Well, so we were trying to develop, like, do we have a future format? Can we keep doing the show? And because I just wanted the Israel Keyes story out there, like the way I put it out there. And people look at it, this is like one of those things where people are going to look at it and they're going to balance it against other stories that have been told about him. There's a lot of bullshit in the other stories just because whatever, that people have started to take as like fact. So,
right, and that happens with lots of cases.
Yeah, it does happen with a lot of cases. So, like, I already have a case for us to cover in January. And, like, you know what it is. And, like, there's lots of stuff that I can point you to as far as, like, looking into that case. That one, that's going to happen. But what do I like better is I like – the thing about Israel Keyes that I like was that case was something that basically the minute the first press release hit with his name because of where I was and what I was doing – I began looking at that case, and I never put that case down.
I remember, and I never wanted to look at it. I remember you sending me links to stuff, and I'm like, I don't give a happy about this idiot.
Yeah, and that's what was so fascinating about his case was he contradicted so many things I knew about true crime, about criminology, and about being a human, that I got sucked into it. And I don't think I will ever find another case like that. I think what True Crime XS becomes is a version of what it is right now. And that's the main reason. Like, this is sort of an end of the year episode. It's very different than what we normally do.
And we should tell them why it's so different.
Yeah. So we, all right. I want to put some emphasis on the words true crime for a minute. We have tried very hard to limit what we do to being crimes that have a basis in public records, hopefully facts, or what we can deem to be facts based on their origin
perspective, right?
And the mutual perspective. Yeah. So we ran into a problem. We've been covering a case for several episodes that we have decided our perspective on it has two things that are problematic. One is potentially new information, which we can't even discuss because it wouldn't be prudent. Two is we don't think it is true crime. And that's a very interesting position to be in, is that this is a true crime podcast that uses lots of things from the world of courts and the world of the police. But ultimately, we have come into one of the biggest cases in American child abductions and murders, potentially not being a true crime case at all, not even being a crime.
Right. And so I just want to add, that was on my checkoff before the end of the year to-do list. And it really threw me, that whole situation, it's thrown me for a loop, not only like with the show, because we faced like new things that, while I think of just about everything we could encounter, like I never thought we were going to encounter this, like the different things we've faced here. And so it really puts us in like this weird position. And I sort of wish like I don't know that I wish that we didn't talk about it at all, because I think the information is very, it's very useful. And what we have covered up to this point, it is about, I don't even know how to say that, because I was going to say it is about true crime, but it's more about like the facade of true crime, I guess.
Yeah.
Being, you know, and I'm referring to like Otis Toole and Henry Lee Lucas, like, because, you know, apparently they do have a large place in true crime history. And, you know, it's up to, apparently nobody's going to ever set this straight. And, you know, think about that for a little while. Like, how do you fix that situation? I don't know for sure, like, how many people would say, I still hear people say, oh, Henry Lee Lucas and Otis Toole, they're serial killers.
Oh, we can definitely say that's not true.
Right. And so I don't know, like, how, you know, how do you set that straight? Because it's already out there, and, you know, law enforcement's not going to do it, because then they'd have to reopen all these cases that they closed.
Right.
And so you're kind of, so anyway, but, you know, I would like to say we are going to give some sort of resolution, but I don't know. We've faced many different
things. This is what I think is going to happen with a couple of things that we're doing. We have opportunities because of other things going on in our worlds, individually and collectively, that we are going to be able to do some work in true crime that is not in the medium podcast. Like, it is not audio weekly shows. I think, like, to some degree, we're going to keep that format as a part of things. So make them segue together, and there'll be, you know, a bit of a confluence where some of the other things we do spill over into podcasting. But I think that some of the mediums that are being offered to us right now, which include streaming video type thing, and also publication, those two things have come up, and we knew one was a possibility a long time ago when we were doing this early on. But some of what has been mentioned to us, like after CrimeCon, has changed like how we'll be able to package information, and maybe we'll be able to make that a part of the podcast. So we come back and do an episode, but there's one particular piece of this last incident, which I can't call it a case. We don't have a suspect because there's not a crime, and it's very, it's like, it's super complicated to call it true crime. So I'm dancing around the fact that like we literally can't put out some of this information at the moment until a couple of other things happen. So we had to decide, do we conclude it And this is our version of not concluding it, is 45 minutes of us talking to wrap up the year for each other and for True Crime XS, but also if, like, we have a lot of you people that listen to us, so it's not fair to leave something that seemed like it was going to have a conclusion suddenly not have one.
Right, and it does, but it doesn't yet. And then it's just so annoying. But
yeah, so this is not work I can do on my own. Like, this is not – so – what we hit was a wall where there was a couple directions we could take, and there was information that was already in evidence various places. And even then, I'm kind of toeing a line here. But in order for any comparisons and conclusions to be reached, I'm going to have to get a couple of different people that don't normally talk or know each other to know each other and talk. And we're going to have to, like, write up how we did it, so that people can
understand and take it
right. Right. So, you know, what started out as this checklist case we were going to cover, because I was interested in a couple of aspects of it. Specifically, I was pretty sure that Otis Toole had not really killed anyone, but I didn't want to influence that. The gist of it is this: in order to cover that case, Adam Walsh's case has a different conclusion than people know. And we are hoping that we can confirm it and get all of the parties on board that would need to be on board to make it a
real thing, like
a unanimous and, yes, a real unanimous, honest conclusion to the case in a way that gives people some closure.
Right. And it would be so. Our aim in doing this is, and I'm constantly wondering if I'm on the other side of, like, the conspiracy theory situation, but I don't think I am. I don't know. If you do this long enough,
this is not a conspiracy.
No, I know it's not. But, like, you know how you, like, encounter people who have very strong opinions about things, and it's like, I just wonder, like, is that what, because I don't want to come across that way, because I feel like that's the best way to get discounted before you even get it out of your mouth.
I mean, we're basically coming up on an hour of saying nothing to say, like, there's a, like, that case is a very sensitive topic.
Right. And we did not, so we planned Israel Keyes, like, a lot. We did a lot. That was a lot. That was
years. That was years of work. Yeah.
Okay. And then we, like, jumped around and I sent you stuff and you picked what we were going to cover or whatever. And, you know, then we had this, like, end of year list. And I can, like, as far as researching, I can research any case. I really can. Like, I just have to. My problem is if I don't find it interesting, I'm less likely to do it. And so that's why it's a little tricky, because, I don't know why I'm that way, but, like, and so I wasn't interested in the Adam Walsh case. I didn't want to do it. And it was on, like, we're going to cover this, that, and the other. And so it was there. And, you know, I was going to go into us talking about it, like, based on the knowledge that I had, right? Like, I wasn't going to even do any research because I didn't feel like I needed to. Then the bottom fell out. And I'm, like, really bad about that. Like, I feel like that's happened with every improvised case that we've done after Israel Keyes this year. I feel like I have really gotten just engulfed in all this. Now, if the pandemic wasn't going on, I don't know that I would be able to as much. But we did not know there was going to be a pandemic when we began this.
And we did not know how many podcasts were going to be done because of the pandemic.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the other thing I ran into. And I know you're not in that world. You don't listen to podcasts and stuff, but I try and keep ahead of things. And that's what allowed me to make a couple of different, you know, podcast decisions along the way for us and for the other things I'm doing. I was able to keep it where we were doing something slightly different, but when you're suddenly having to listen to 300, 400 new podcasts, it's really weird to try and stay ahead of that curve. And I know, well, that's not something you do. It is something I do. And it was important for me to brand True Crime XS. But I think I made a mistake that might be a happy mistake. And that is when I branded True Crime XS and got a following for it and started putting out the episodes, even though like the first season is kind of all over the place, it had a focused goal in mind where it maybe not, like maybe the first season is not the be all end all of True Crime XS, if that makes sense.
I don't think it can be, like, because if it was the be all end all, there would be more.
We have
True Crime XS. I mean, the word says it all, honestly. Like, it never ends. I don't think. I don't know. I am along for the ride and I have opinions occasionally, but really, I'm not a very, which is weird because in my research, I'm super focused. But like, as far as, you know, the world of endless possibilities, I could think about cases forever and figure out, you know, different outcomes.
Right. And that was sort of what we were testing this year because we knew the first one. We didn't know what the others were going to bring, but we wanted to cover them and take people along for the ride. And weirdly, like, you know, people have responded to both about the same. Like, there's negative and positives for both. But the end result is we are, like, going to keep trying to figure out how to put content on this feed going into 2021, which everyone seems happy about.
I feel like that's just not a subject to broach.
What?
Oh, asking for it. Like, it's just like.
Oh, yeah. The hold my beer thing. I was like, oh, my God. I don't want to test that either. I mean, all of that having been said, we hope that everybody has a safe and happy holiday. Do you have anything else to tell these people?
Thanks for listening.
Jamie, do you have anything to tell the audience members of True Crime XS?
Thanks for listening.
Hi, Jamie.
Nick is not here. Nick is enjoying holidays elsewhere at the moment. So we're going to wrap that up. We do have, so.
You want the dogs to say goodbye?
Harley, you want to speak? Scout, you want to come over and say a few words?
Tiger would say, woo-hoo.
Yeah. All the dogs say, and we have like, I'm going to put something else on the end here. One more person saying something about this year. And I might even put something like really weird on the end. But True Crime XS, we'll be back in January. We're not coming back till maybe the second week of January. We're trying to get it back on a regular schedule. That's been really difficult with everything that's been going on. We are covering a case, an older case, that is an interesting case because it's one of those things that I see gray on and other people don't.
Right. And that's like, it's another like mini, it's not starting season two, right?
No, it's not. Well, I mean, I guess it's starting 2021, but it won't technically be season two until I like lock down whether we can do some of the things I want to do with that interesting area. That will probably kick off in February if we're able to do it. If not, there may be something completely different in the feed in February that is true crime in nature and has you and I involved.
And it's excess, don't forget.
Yeah, it'll be to the excess. It'll definitely be something that you can yell about and explain that it's useless information and that we stole it from 7 other podcasts. And if you guys need more Israel Keyes information, you go listen to True Crime Bullshit. There was supposed to be another podcast called Unsettled. I don't know what happened there. I think that's actually the person that they're thinking I am. I'm definitely not him. But that's a person, I guess maybe he joined the Patreon for True Crime Bullshit and then downloaded all the files and made a podcast out of it or something. I don't know, like downloaded like the audio files because something happened there that people don't like me because of whatever happened there. But I don't dislike.
It wasn't you.
Yeah, I don't dislike True Crime Bullshit. That's one to listen to. If you need other podcasts in the meantime, Where's Lisa, which is Island Crime, is a really good podcast to listen to. I also like The Prosecutors. I think they're fantastic to listen to. Brett and Alice over there are two attorneys that just tear. They do some older cases and stuff. I think that's all I have that I would recommend in true crime right now. I like Hollywood Crime Scene. I'm basically just giving people things to do for the next 3 weeks.
I was going to say, I can give you absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Right. So Girl in Space was good. I like that. I liked Limetown, the podcast, but those are fiction-ish and they're different. I just Recently became obsessed with those. I liked America 2.0. I actually know the producers of that one. There is a cool podcast about Saved by the Bell. See, I always thought we should do, listen. I thought we should do a podcast about Saved by the Bell, about all the crimes that they were actually committing on that show. But I didn't ever do that. I just thought it would be cool to do that at some point. And they have a podcast called Zach to the Future, which is Mark Paul Gosselaar's baby. That's a good podcast to listen to if you need something.
It's him?
Yeah, it's Mark Paul Gosselaar's. What? Dead and Gone is a good one. Payne Lindsay is interesting. I like the first two episodes, but I didn't like the rest of that. But that is Mark Paul Gosselaar's podcast, and he is on it every week. And he is, it's really interesting because it's such a different perspective of Saved by the Bell to listen to him talk about it. Because he had, the premise of the podcast is that he had never seen the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And
well, so has he now?
He's watching them and commenting on them as they go. He's very obsessed with his hair. It's fantastic.
Well, it appeared that he was very obsessed with his hair back then. It, you know, I watched Saved by the Bell, like
I love that show.
As it was airing, you know,
it's so awful. I love it.
Well, I don't know about being awful, but like, it's not grounded in reality. And
well, that's the point of the show. It's supposed to be like a cartoon. It was on Saturday mornings originally.
Well, I get that. But like when you're a kid, you're like, why is my life not like that? Like,
yeah.
And so, you know, it was really hard. That and 90210, like, you know,
yep.
Really screwed up a lot of kids. We all think like life is supposed to be like you're on Saved by the Bell or 90210. And that's not how things work.
Well, that's a good one for people to check out because of like some of the things you just said come up. But they have like guest stars on there. They have like Elizabeth Berkley. They have like, they talk about how screwed up some of those shows are, but it's got a lot of behind the scenes information.
So what did you mean about the crimes though? Like the characters were committing or like the actors were committing?
The characters, not the actors. Jesus Christ, we're going to get sued. I'm talking about like when Zach Morris.
Well,
like,
I was going to say, what? I didn't think that they, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Like when Lisa Turtle uses her dad's credit card and runs up a big bill and they have to hold a fundraiser to pay it off. Like there's crimes occurring there. Like there's like credit card fraud. Oh, there's like,
yeah, that would be really interesting. The way that they, because like I said, that is not real life. Like,
right. That's what I mean. So imagine a mashup that's like Law and Order meets Saved by the Bell.
Right. Yeah,
and the Law and Order people are like prosecuting the Saved by the Bell people. It would be hilarious.
Yeah, it would be.
But nobody, I mean, like, it's not something I'm going to put time into. But
I'm never going to listen to this podcast. So does Mark Paul Gosselaar, like, if he had the option, like, because when he was
Zach Morris.
I couldn't remember his last name. When he was Zach Morris, like, so he didn't like choose to be Zach Morris. He was just, he chose to be an actor and that actor became Zach Morris on Saved by the Bell. So like, if he could go back, like, would he do it again? Has he mentioned anything like that? I'm just curious.
Well, it's his whole life though. Like his whole life is being Mark Paul Gosselaar at this point, who is, it's like that split that we talked about with like John Walsh and Nancy Grace. But, you know, Mark Paul Gosselaar, the guy,
is Zach Morris.
Basically, he doesn't do a lot of acting. I mean, he does, but he's making choices. He's saying lines. He's doing blocking. But there's a lot of him there. And like, he talks about the separation between the two and like what he would do differently. But I don't know, like his situation is interesting because it's not like he really chose it. He just wanted to try it. And then his like mom supported him towards it. And he kept going with it. And he still, you know, he still acts today. And he talks about like a lot of the interesting things that go into the business side of it. And, you know, that's something I'm sort of familiar with from a peon perspective, but to hear it from, like, he's got a weird career. Like, he's not ever going to not be Zach Morris.
Yeah, that's true. Because he was on, what was it? The spinoff from Blackish. It was
Mixed-ish. He's still on that.
Okay, yeah. So he plays Bo's father.
Yeah.
In the, like, the, you know, because she's young in that. And, like, Zach Morris, every time, like, it doesn't matter. He's never going to really be Beau's father because that's grown-up Zach Morris on the TV screen.
Well, and so the podcast came out and they were promoting, really, with it, the reimagining of Saved by the Bell, which is on Peacock.
Right.
And by the way, everything I've said in the last 20 minutes, I've not been paid for. I'm just saying it because.
I was going to say earlier when you were like naming podcasts, I was going to be like, I'm sorry, did you think you won an award because you were like sort of naming things off? You're like, I'd like to thank everybody.
Well, like this, this year I was saying those things so like people know like what I listen to. Like I listen to Mind Over Murder and like I'm just naming off the things I listen to because it's the end of the year and like some of these, I feel like people should support some of these other podcasts. Also, if you really hate our podcast, I'm giving you something else to go do. You know, we had an advertising issue because of all of this. That's the only reason I bring any of it up now because I wanted to be a part of a different. I wanted to do some advertising with a different media company than us, like to build the audience. And some of that Israel Keyes bullshit was tied to it. And it caused me problems that were like, that had financial ramifications, not just for me, for those people too. I say all of these things on here, you know, so that if people listen to them, even from those companies, and they want to, you know, try and rectify that, I'm totally open to that idea.
it seems really odd in true crime. Like podcasts.
Yeah, a lot of clickish motherfuckers, man.
Well, it seems odd that there would be like that competitive edge. Like, I really want to solve this serial killer story and I'm willing to step on people's hands to get there.
Well,
like, what? Why?
The world that we exist in, the internet can't solve Maura Murray's case. And that's the one. That is the origin for like all of the competitive nonsense. And I say this, I counted at least four times that I said this throughout the year. People want to solve something. They want to solve a thing. Happy 2021, people.
Yes. Happy New Year.
All right. Anything else you want to say?
Nope.
All right.
Thanks for joining us. You can reach us at 252-365-5593 or at truecrimexcess.com or truecrimexcess@gmail.com if you want to send us a note. This episode was brought to you by labroticcreations.com. That's labroticcreations.com. Check out the merchandise and specifically their fun pop pet art custom pieces made from photos of your very own pets. Use the promo code CRIMEXS, that's CRIMEXS, for 20% off a fun, brightly colored, happy piece of art of your own pet at their site. AbradiCreations.com. Music in this episode was licensed for True Crime XS. The theme song was Indestructible by Noah Smith. You can find us on your favorite podcast platform or at TeePublic, Instagram, or Twitter. You can also join us on Patreon to fund future body exploration trips. But the best thing you can do for us is leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform and share us with your friends. And we'll see you next time.
Nick and Jamie, it's Ryan Reynolds, don't hang up. This is a little message that I'm sending from John, your man, your pops, who is away from you guys right now, which is a really tough thing to do under normal circumstances, let alone under these circumstances. But boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, he loves you very much. And he just wanted me to send along this message. I hope I get to meet both of you in person one of these days. Judging from what I've heard about you, you guys sound like you're absolutely incredible. So hang in there and I'll see you soon. Bye.
You're my good luck charm, I swear. It's sure been a crazy year. But you're the reason I'm in this movie, the reason I can be doing what I love. And I love a good song, but I like it better when you're singing along. And I only wanna dance if I got you in my arms. Even if it's Dave Matthews or the Grateful Dead, I'd rather be listening to you instead. I know it's hard, baby, being apart, you and me. But before too long, I'll be back to the sea. Back to laughing at each other, cranking music, laughing color. Soon we'll be back to our endless summer.
Summer, summer, summer.
June 20th, I can't believe it. Looking at you saying I do. Couldn't believe what I was seeing. Now it's a full house, Nick, Harley, Scout, and Tiger. Thanks for holding down the home front and not letting them set it on fire. I know it's hard, baby, being apart, you and me. But before too long, I'll be back to the sea. Back to laughing at each other, cranking music, life in color. Soon we'll be back to our endless summer. For now I'm trapped in my bubble, but you're trapped in my head. I think of you every single moment I'm on set. Jamie and John were the best love story yet. Everything's gonna be alright, just keep looking ahead. I know it's hard, baby, being apart, you and me, you and me. I know it's hard, baby, being apart, you and me. But before too long, I'll be back to the sea. Back to laughing at each other, cranking music, life in color. Soon we'll be back. Yeah, soon we'll be back to our endless summer.